Live from the EPB Fiber Optic Studio, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial 98.1 The Lake. Thank you for taking your time to join us. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, and joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor at CHI Memorial. Good morning, Dr. Green.
Good morning, Ed. It's so great to be with you and all of our listeners. It's fine. I'm pulling an Ed Jones from out of town doing this from my car. So I always remember the time, Ed, that you did that and had the homeless person and the raccoon. People have to go back to our archives on the website to remember that. But I remember laughing as hard as I could, as quietly as I could while you were doing that. And I thought you were making it all up, but it was all true. But thankfully, no homeless people around me knocking on the window, no wild animals knocking at my window. So I'm safe out here. Of course, it is, you know, the rurals of Atlanta. So it's you know, really, really dangerous out here. So glad to be here, and I want to thank CHI Memorial for all of their support of our show, and CHI continues to support North Georgia. Still planning on building that hospital within 5 years. I know I keep taking polls of all the patients. They're excited about this. We keep increasing our services at 4700 Battlefield Parkway. Right now, we're moving in, you know, radiology. We're also going to be moving and building Mary Ellen Loper Breast Cancer Center, which will really be needed in that area. And I just can't say enough for everything that they're doing. I'm also thankful to Benchmark Physical Therapy for their support of me and everything they do for the residents in this area. And also LHC Group, that's Louisiana Healthcare. They are the parent company for Home Care Solutions, Home Health, which is one of our sponsors as well. That's both in Ringgold and in Dalton. Again, we're moving into a new office in Dalton, so we should have an open house sometime soon, hopefully before the end of the year, maybe November. And everyone will be welcome to attend that if they would like to. And also Heartlight Hospice of Dalton, serving all the residents of Northwest Georgia as well. But again, the biggest thanks is to CHI Memorial, not just for their sponsorship of the show, but for their service to all the residents here and to me and all the other providers. They are just the most wonderful group of people, and I can't say enough good about them. And CHI would like to thank their staff and physicians and volunteers for making them the number one hospital in the region by the U.S. News and World Report. That's a great honor. CHI Memorial is also ranked best in class by NRC Health as one of the top 10 hospitals in the country for consumer loyalty. CHI is an award-winning organization because of the staff and physicians and volunteers, and they want to thank each and every one for their unwavering spirit and profound dedication and service to all of our patients and the entire community. If you would like to learn more, just visit memorial.org/awards today. Well, Ed, tell me what's new in your world.
Thank you, Dr. Green. And, you know, it is exciting to hear all your news of Memorial because people... You know, it's not like health is really like getting in an airplane. And if you think that eventually you're going to have to jump out of that airplane, the time to get the parachute on is not the moment of crisis. So, you know, having this information about how do we set up, who do we trust, who has the best ratings is important before the crisis occurs. So I think it's wonderful that Memorial's doing such great work. On the opposite,
that's the basis of primary care too. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, on the opposite end of the spectrum, Nutrition World has been in business since 1979 when I opened, and it has evolved into what I call a wellness complex, more holistic nutritional wellness. And I think, you know, this show is the grand example of bridging the gap between the old school conventional and more of my world of out there of the nutritional options and education. And I think we're doing a wonderful job of that. We had a massive health fair last weekend, and we have some exciting plans for 2020 and actually the end of 2019. We just launched our online shopping, and I made a big deal of this on Channel 3 interview yesterday with Julie on the 3 Plus You show, and I go on there once a month, and I said this, and I can, you know all too well, Dr. Green, how I can get on a tangent or get on rant and rave, but I really ranted because I was announcing the online presence of NutritionW.com, where you can order products, and I said very, very strongly, I said, listen, people, what in the heck do you think happens to your nutrition products in the middle of summer? You order from Amazon vitamins, probiotics, omega-3s. Those products are not kept cool. They are going to be very hot, at least on the shipping to your house. Do not trust that, because NutritionW.com is the only company I know that is going to be shipping with cold packs all of the whole summer, probably part of the fall and spring. Anytime it's warm, we're shipping with cold packs. No one that I know of does that. So, and we actually match Amazon's prices on the product. So I'm just super excited and stoked about NutritionW.com. Finally, after 41 years, we are online, because we have so many people who've moved away who want to order and want to continue to support us, because we are watching out for the people. We don't sell products that we don't test and that we, you know, are questionable about. We don't stock. So that's my rant on the most exciting thing is going online. And
well, Ed, that's not a rant. I mean, a rant has a negative connotation, like you're just angry about something. But, you know, that's a good thing, and you're just educating people about how Amazon is shipping and what it's going to do to the products. If you don't tell them, nobody's going to know. And I'm so excited about that one. You know, that's where I'm planning on starting to order is online. I'm a big online shopper just because you and I are always busy. I really don't have time to go out and shop. It's just, it doesn't exist. I have to stop something else in order to go shop somewhere. So it's hard for me to go to the location. So that's where my shopping is going to be, is NutritionW.com. I'll be doing everything online through you. And I've been telling the patients about that, friends, and telling them to switch over to you. So we'll see if that works. But, you know, people will get the word out, and people who love Nutrition World are going to do the same thing. It's not a rant. It's just education.
I appreciate that, my friend. I appreciate it. Where did you eat this week? Any place special?
Oh, you know, the last couple of weeks have been interesting. As you may recall, just 2-3 weekends ago, I headed up to Sevierville, got to eat. I could have sworn that place used to be called the Apple Barn. I mean, the whole complex is Apple Barn. Have you ever been there in Sevierville?
No, I have not.
If you haven't, you need to go. It's a wide variety. They even have a winery, things like that. But they have a restaurant. It's now Applewood. There was probably not much that I ate there that was healthy, but it's one of my favorite places, mainly for their really unhealthy apple fritters and apple butter. But I did have collards and broccoli and a really good slaw that really felt like it was underdone in the mayonnaise, so the health was probably a little better. But it's all fresh ingredients that they cook with, fresh veggies, and that's the only part of what I ate that I'm going to tell you from that one. But the other local, I have heard about the Flying Squirrel for years, and I've never been, so I just got a wild hair one night a couple of weeks ago as well, went there, and I had something, and, you know, I took a picture of it, and now I've lost that, but it was Kershaw. Does that ring a bell?
No.
Kershaw was in the name. If I'm mutilating that, listeners, just forgive me, but it was actually a sushi salad, and it was a Japanese dish. I did have a side of sticky rice, one of the best salads I've ever had, and it was sushi. Interesting. Oh. I've had sushi, you know, rolls. I've never had a sushi salad, and I was kind of scared, but I thought, you know, it was on sale anyway, so why not try it? And, well, I'd recommend you go by and look. It may not be something you would like. There may be something unhealthy, but, you know, you eat for content. I eat for taste and appearance, so it's a good compliment to each other, so we'll try new things. They also had an amazing pimento cheese. Again, not healthy, listeners. I'm sorry, but it was covered with, a bacon jam, I think, if I got that right, and little bits of bacon on top. One of the best. I don't even like pimento cheese, and I really like this. So well done, Flying Squirrel. I'll have to go back. That was during the day, and I heard that at night they light up that upside-down canoe over the bar, and it's really pretty. So one day I'm going to go back and check it out in the dark, but that was a fun place to eat.
Well, I think you're exactly right. The word fun place, I have eaten there once, and I enjoyed it. It was several years ago. They do focus some more than most people with some local sources of food. And you can make good choices almost anywhere. In fact, I have a national podcast called The Holistic Navigator. And the last one I did before this last week was called A Health Nuts Guide to Eating Out. And it's a 25-minute podcast explaining how I walk into a restaurant or prepare to go in and order healthy foods regardless of the locale. I mean, I did McDonald's on here, I did Carrabba's. I used examples. So for people who are like, oh, I just, you know, I can't help it, I'm eating unhealthy. Well, listen to my Health Nuts Guide to Eating Out on The Holistic Navigator, and you'll learn how to do this. Well, guess what? It's already time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be discussing more about your health. We've got that and everything to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World, back with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And today we have a most interesting guest. Welcome, Dr. Nicole Walker from the Breast Oncology with CHI Memorial Breast Care Associates. Welcome to Vital Health Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here, and thanks for having me.
And you know, I know that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I want people to know, you know, what they need to think about, some of the maybe recent studies on the 3D versus the regular mammograms, and whatever else you want to bring up to help educate our listeners on this. So tell the listeners what, you know, the what's going on in October, why it's important, and what you would advise for people who are listening.
So October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. I hope you have your pink high tops ready if you watch a football fan, or your pink cleats and all your pink T-shirts. So basically, October is a month to recognize the importance of screening mammograms and breast health. And so we recommend that women starting at the age of 40 get annual mammograms. The reason we recommend that is because the mammogram is the only test shown to actually reduce breast cancer deaths through early detection. There have been a lot of different, you know, conflicting sort of recommendations recently, but at the Mary Ellen Locher Breast Center, we recommend women start at the age of 40. And then every year, as long as they're in good health and expected to live at least 10 more years. So that is also what the American College of Radiology recommends, and that's also what the American Society of Breast Surgeons recommends. When you talk about the 3D mammogram versus the traditional mammogram, that becomes important, particularly in younger women, because younger women tend to have dense breast tissue. And what that means is that their mammogram is a little bit harder to read than usually an older woman's mammogram. And the 3D technology helps us see through that dense breast tissue better so that we can find things earlier.
Okay. Very, very good information. Now, what, you know, as far as I deal with a different kind of probable question of my clients, because I've been doing this 41 years, and many people, you know, have differing ideas on this. Tell people about the exposure of radiation with mammograms, and to maybe put people at ease or make them more informed about this decision.
Sure. Yeah, that is also a frequent question I get. What we found is that the radiation exposure from a mammogram is very minimal. In addition, the 3D mammograms, initially when they came out, there was a little bit higher exposure, but they have since improved the technology to reduce that exposure also. When you look at, well, the likelihood of finding a breast cancer and people having improved survival from that compared to the risk of getting a cancer from the mammogram, the benefit of finding that cancer far outweighs the risk that that minimal exposure to the radiation would cause. In addition, that's particularly important for women from the ages of about 40 to 50, because a lot of times if you can catch those cancers early, those people do a lot better, meaning they're going to live longer. Whereas when you catch their cancers later, the survival or how long they live is less. So the radiation exposure, it is there. But, you know, when you get on an airplane and fly from New York to California, you're getting radiation exposure, probably more radiation exposure. Actually, not probably. It is more radiation exposure than a mammogram.
Hmm. Well, Dr. Green,
so Walker. Travel.
Hey, I had a question. This is Dr. Green again.
Sure.
So a couple of questions I get from my patients. I'm curious what you would tell our listeners. Two things. One, are the newer mammograms, do they expose people to less radiation than, say, 10 years ago? So that's one I get asked a lot. And also, a lot of my ladies want to know when they can quit. They say, well, when do I get to stop doing this? So what do you usually tell people?
So as far as when do we get to stop this, normally I tell women, if you are healthy and you expect to live 10 more years, I think it's worth getting a mammogram. But obviously, you know, there are some recommendations say that for women over 75, they could consider stopping. But if a woman wants to get a mammogram and she's in good health, you know, our average age expectancy is 90. You know, if a woman's healthy and she wants to get her mammogram at 79, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, particularly because, you know, people think, oh, well, when you're older, you don't get aggressive cancers. That's just not true. Sometimes they do, and if you can catch that really early, you can also get those women out of having to do more extensive treatments. Because, you know, you think they're, you know, breast cancer treatment usually have, you know, surgery, and sometimes there's radiation, and sometimes there's chemotherapy. Well, a lot of times if you catch it early, you can minimize, you know, the chemotherapy exposure and potentially even the radiation exposure from actual radiation treatment. So, you know, I typically say if you're, you know, expected to have 10 more years, then I would do it.
Awesome.
But if I, you know, have an 80-year-old lady who's in good health and she just wants to stop, I think that that's reasonable.
That makes
sense. That's a personal choice as well, yeah.
And so when people have personal choices, like if they did request of you delayed mammograms or, you know, having some issues, are you workable? I mean, is that flexible or is it kind of hard set that women have to do it every 10 years?
You mean every year?
I mean every year, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, I strongly encourage women to do it every year. Partially because if you are a woman that has dense breast tissue, and some women will have dense breast tissue, you know, throughout their life, not just when they're younger, well, that dense breast tissue can hide a cancer. Mm. If you're not getting a mammogram every year, sometimes that cancer may be there that year, even when you got a mammogram, and then, but you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you waited two more years, that's going to be a much bigger cancer, much more difficult to treat, whereas you might have caught it sooner in a year. But obviously,
yeah,
you have to use reason and logic. If somebody's going through something really bad, you know, and you push your mammogram out a month or 2 months, you know, we all live life. Got to take a little bit of a middle-of-the-road approach. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think when you can get back in, that would be the recommendation.
And I could certainly understand somebody not wanting to do that every year. I wish I could put on the air a poem one of my patients wrote about 15 years ago for me. One day I'll share it with you, Ed. It's so men can understand what it's like getting a mammogram, and it will make you laugh. You will cry while you read it. But I will say, my mother is a breast cancer survivor, and Ed, she, I don't think I've ever told you this, she had done hers every year faithfully, and one year she said, you know what, I'm skipping this year. I just don't feel like it. And that same day, she felt led to go anyway, and she did, and she got her diagnosis, and she's a survivor. So had she waited another year, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me ask a really silly question, because I'm not skilled in the, you know, normal conventional medical world, what causes the breast to be more dense in women?
It's just how they are. Mm. It's just how you're born. It's nothing you're doing. I mean, hormones, if you are on hormone replacement therapy, that can keep your breasts more dense. But typically the dense breast tissue is dense when you're young, and it responds to, you know, the hormones in your body like estrogen. And then obviously as women go through menopause, they don't have that stimulation of the tissue. So the breast usually becomes less dense, but I still have women in their 60s and 70s who are in menopause and still have dense breast tissue. So it's just kind of the way you are.
And Ed, that brought up another question I've had patients ask me, and this would be a great question for a surgeon. Does prior breast surgery of any type or certain types inhibit the detection of breast cancer on mammograms?
Well, certain, if you've had breast implants, if they were placed behind your muscle, your mammogram is still, it's still a very useful tool. But when they put them in front of the muscle, it can limit the views that you get of the breast tissue, because basically the implant is bright white and it blocks out. You can't see through it. Now, if it's behind the muscle, you can pull the breast tissue up in front of it and still get a pretty good view. But yes, it can hide things. But most of the time our mammographers, meaning our ladies and men who help with the screenings, I mean, they've gotten pretty good at hopefully trying to maneuver the implant out of the way. And in addition, just because you have implants, I wouldn't say don't get your mammogram, because sometimes it'll still catch things on the edges. And then we do have things like ultrasounds, which can help us when mammogram is limited. And sometimes even MRIs can be very useful, too. So we have other
ways. I was going to ask about the MRIs. A lot of patients ask for those. Are there any specific times you recommend an MRI instead of a mammo or an ultrasound?
Yes. So in patients who are very high risk, meaning that they have a strong family history of breast cancer, you know, in their mom or their aunts or their siblings, or, you know, people forget sometimes other cancers are linked to breast cancer, and that, you know, goes back to some of the genetic mutations. And so I think that's why it's always important to go over your family history with your doctor. And if you have any new family history of anybody with cancers, you let them know. Because those people who have big family histories and are at increased risk, we recommend both mammograms and MRIs. And the MRIs are particularly useful in people with the very dense breast tissue. So if you guys remember about Angelina Jolie, you know, a few years ago, how she was diagnosed as a BRCA mutation, that's a breast cancer gene mutation. Well, her risk of breast cancer over her lifetime was somewhere between 60% and 80%. So for somebody like that, we would have recommended annual mammograms and annual MRIs. Now, she chose to be a little bit more aggressive and went with the prophylactic mastectomies to remove the breast tissue, but that's because her risk was so exceptionally high.
Interesting. And let me interrupt here 1 second. We got about 40 seconds left. I want to say that I knew Mary Ellen Locher very well. She was a regular shopper of the store, and she used holistic nutritional medicine along with conventional in a day when that did not happen. And you certainly didn't tell your practitioner.
Right.
She was a brave pioneer, Mary Ellen Locher. But Dr. Walker, we got about 30 seconds. Tell people how they can find more information and contact you when they feel the need for that.
Right. So to contact me, I'm with CHI Memorial Breast Care Associates. We have offices in Chattanooga, East Brainerd, Hickson, Ooltewah, and Ringgold. And then my partner is also Dr. Washburn. And then for our mammogram at a Mary Ellen Locher Breast Center, the number is 423-495-6744. And there are options in Chattanooga, Hickson, Ooltewah, and a mobile coach. And then, sorry, my office number is 423-698-0304.
And thank you so much, Dr. Walker. That was so interesting and informative. And it's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we'll be discussing more about your health with myself and Dr. Green. I am Ed Jones, and stay with us.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And we have a guest that was on previously, Mike Everly, the founder of Bees and Trees, a company that produces from New Zealand the most specialized honey in the world called Manuka. And Manuka, Nutrition World has carried for, I know, 15 years. It is a modestly pricey product. It's not used generally as for taste alone. It's used more medicinally and to help maintain your health. And even in some cases, used for medical issues when it's appropriate. Well, welcome to the show, Mike, again.
Thank you, Ed. Great to be here.
We had such an informative discussion before on the benefits of this Manuka honey, because I know from stories and studies, in fact, PubMed has a lot of, in fact, 240 research pieces on Manuka, but you know, people who, from leg ulcers to internally using it if they're sick, from sinus to this to that, and we covered that in that previous show. So anyone listening who wants to hear those details, they can go to the past shows and click on the one from Mike Everly on Manuka honey. But in this one, let's talk a little bit more about like the history, the discovery. How did all of this come about? Because you know, a lot of people think all honey is antibacterial, you know, and I know the bed sore issue. People have used honey for bed sores for decades. But what separates the Manuka tree from regular bee stuff?
Yeah, Ed, it's a really interesting story. So going back about 30 years, Manuka honey was just in New Zealand. In New Zealand, it was just another of the native floral types that the bees could forage on, and there was nothing necessarily special about it. Enter a researcher named Peter Molan at the University of Waikato in New Zealand, was doing some analysis around the antiseptic properties of honeys. So he was looking at a number of different honeys, and all honeys have a natural antiseptic property, and that's a result of a substance called glucose oxidase, which bees produce. It's kind of a preservative for all honeys. And when glucose oxidase comes in contact with moisture, like on your skin, it produces hydrogen peroxide. And that's why, going back to the Bible, it says honey on a wound will help disinfect it, will help it heal. So Peter Molan was catalyzing out the effect of the peroxide activity. So he was neutralizing that in the lab. And he discovered that with Manuka honey, it continued to inhibit the growth of bacteria, even when the glucose oxidase was catalyzed out. So he coined the term non-peroxide activity, or which later evolved into unique Manuka factor, as this unique property of Manuka honey. And that's really what launched the interest in and the worldwide market for Manuka honey. And from there, a lot of research has been done. It took researchers in Germany several years later to isolate and determine that methyl glyoxal, a naturally occurring organic compound, was the key determinant of this antibacterial property and anti-inflammatory property in Manuka honey.
About what year was that when that was done?
So it was mid-90s that the researchers in Germany isolated methyl glyoxal. It was either late 80s or early 90s that Peter Molan made his discovery. Yes.
Interesting. And how do you, Dr. Green, how do you, I know this is part of the frustration for me, is something this miraculous, it does have a hard journey into mainstream education, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, first you have to be willing to have an open mind to even think about using something natural. So I think we are opening our minds to that. Is it more well-received in Europe or New Zealand or the U.S.? Is there more open-mindedness in other areas of the world, have you found, since you're more traveled than I am?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say the markets are much better developed in Europe as well as in Asia. And I think in both places, there's more of a receptivity to natural approaches to wellness. Certainly, Asian countries have a long history mm-hmm. of various approaches to health and wellness that are based on different herbs and different things that people take that are found naturally occurring. So this aligns up really well with that, where it's gotten a slower start, I'd say, the U.S.
Yeah, I'm also curious, have you seen any decreased or increased receptiveness among, say, MDs such as myself, or DOs, doctors of osteopathy, or chiropractors, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants? Is there a difference across that spectrum that you've seen?
Yeah, so I'd say more osteopathic doctors are know about Manuka honey and are embracing Manuka honey. We have a chiropractor that is currently carrying our honey in the Atlanta area. There are compounding pharmacies that are starting to embrace Manuka honey, which again I think cater to that segment a little bit more.
Yeah, so I think in answer to your question then, Ed, I think that's going to be slow to enter mainstream medicine. I just do, and I think it's going to take, we're very research-minded, prove to me sort of attitude that this worked. I think it'll take respected physicians, respected providers using this and see some evidence-based results that this works. And once people see evidence-based medicine that this works, then traditional medicine will start taking note, and that just takes time.
It does. And I know with the marketplace the way it is, and because anybody can sell anything, a physician or a healthcare professional doesn't want to just tell someone, because they know the unreliable nature of the marketplace. I can see, like, if I was in Dr. Green's place and someone came in and he wasn't super familiar like he is now, he is, but most physicians are not. He would not want to say go buy Manuka, because again, it's a minefield out there and it's a wild west. And like you say, there's only a few companies really producing the ethical, potent, powerful Manuka. And I know I don't want to cover old ground, but what is the number or the stage or the things they look for?
Well, let me throw one in a question there. You know, a while back when we had you on the show, you were talking about that number that you're about to talk about. And I remember you said something like if you see this number, you know, take note of that. Don't buy that product. But when I was reading your literature, you have a very high count in that. So I'm wondering if you're just educated on what the number means and what you're looking for, that would solve that problem, right?
Yeah, well, it's two things. So legitimately labeled Manuka honey will either have the actual test result in methyl glyoxal, which that ranges from low of about 100 to high of about 500 or 600.
And that's what we want.
And that's what you want to see on the label. There's an equivalent, and most of the research that I've read would say to get a therapeutic result, if you're looking for some condition you want to address, mm-hmm. that number should be 250 or higher. That you don't want to be necessarily with a low activity Manuka honey for a specific condition you're trying to address. There's an equivalency scale, unfortunately, to make it a little bit complicated, where it could have the letters UMF, unique Manuka factor, and a number like 5 plus, 10 plus, or 15 plus. That's also legitimate, and that ranges from about 5 to 15, and you want it to be 10 or greater. But you have to make sure those letters UMF are in front of that number. You want to stay away from anything that has a word like active or bioactive or some other made-up scale and some number after it, because those are brands that are trying to misrepresent mm-hmm. what they're carrying. And there's a lot of honey with a 20 plus or a 24 plus or a 15 plus and some bogus word in front of it. And that's what you want to stay away from. And that's what you're going to find, frankly, at most of the big grocery chains and most of the big chain nutrition
stores. And to the uninformed, that sounds like, wow, that's a good product.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's very, very deceptive and misleading. One of the producers is actually the subject of a class action lawsuit in Florida specifically on this issue for materially misleading the consumer.
Well, that'd be false advertising, right?
Not
in
really.
In a sense, no?
It,
for the non-business amongst us, that's what it looks like to me.
It's still legitimate right now, though.
It's very deceptive,
yes.
Because if you read the small print on the left side of the label and you really know what you're looking for, you can kind of see through it. But for the uninformed, it's very easy to get.
As a consumer, not as as a business person, it does seem deceptive to me.
Applies all the way across the board, including CBD today. I'm just being blown away by some of the very low quality and medium quality and high quality, but you don't really know because the standards are not really in place.
And I think some of the other companies also just combine Manuka honey from multiple sites with different potencies, isn't that right, and just sell it in one batch?
Yeah, absolutely. Blending is pretty common in the industry. We don't do any blending. We're kind of small batch, hive to jar in how we produce our honey. So a lot of times blended honey will have other honey types in it. And all they're really trying to do, it's a bit more of a chemistry experiment, trying to hit a certain rating number that matches what they're trying to put on the on the shelf.
That's why I avoid the Kona blend coffee. If I want the real thing, I just buy the real thing.
Oh, blend, yeah.
There you go.
And I'm going to put a plug in for Nutrition World. The thing that my passion and legacy in life is devoted to is being the gatekeeper. That's what I kind of came up with a few years ago, because we analyze and look on every level, from testing to the proceed to the right product to the history, like I'm doing with you. I mean, Dr. Ginn and I are, you know, learning how you started, what you do, what's your ethics. And there's nothing like sitting across the table from someone to get a sense of their honesty and ethics. And there's no doubt that Mike Everly with Bees and Trees is unbelievable. I will carry his product forever at Nutrition World as long as he's making it.
But I can vouch for that. He's the real deal.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Two thumbs up. But real quickly, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left to kind of summarize the vital importance that people, kids, middle-aged, and old people have to understand that bees and pollination is crucial to our survival as a human species. Isn't that true?
It's absolutely true. And our honeybee population is under pressure like never before. There's very few people don't realize there's almost no native or wild bee colonies anymore. A generation ago, there were wild bee colonies everywhere. The certain mite, the Varroa mite that infests honeybee hives, has made it all but impossible for bees to survive without the commercial beekeeper treating their hives and keeping the mite population at bay. So that makes us very, very dependent on our commercial beekeepers and our commercial beekeeping practices, our agricultural practices in general, make it pretty hard on the honeybee. And so there's a lot of challenges right now for honeybee population. And our company is actually launching a project to support a researcher that's doing some leading edge research, Dr. Samuel Ramsey. If you're interested, look up Sammy Ramsey and honeybee research. And he's doing some leading edge research in this area that, we're hopeful can help our operations in New Zealand and beekeepers worldwide. So, but it's really, really important bee health.
We think we are so smart as humans, but we have so little sometimes respect for the crucial parts of nature and the way that we're put together as a big spider web, and one piece plays on another piece, and bees are critical. They are the like orchestra director. Tell people if they want to learn more about your product and want to, in fact, I brought up the certificate of analysis that you had done on your product that was a great third party testing of the active ingredient. But for those who want to purchase it, learn more about it, where can they go, and your website, please?
Yeah, so you can learn a lot more about Manuka honey on our website, www.beesandtrees.com. We've got links to various articles. We've got overview information. We've got background on the product. You can order the product there. You can get the product directly at Nutrition World in Chattanooga and a number of other independent health stores around the country. Largely we're in the Southeast and the Northeast right now.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, I read on your pamphlet, I had not thought of this. I have a young lady who comes to the store, has probably the worst acne I've ever seen in 41 years. And I just saw that applying that could be helpful. I'm going to pass that along to her, Mike.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a whole area we haven't had a chance to talk about. But skincare applications can be really, really effective.
I hear another show coming.
There you go. Bingo. All right. Thank you so much, Mike Everly. And it's time for us to take another break. When we come back, we will be discussing more about your health and much more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World here in Chattanooga with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green. And in this segment, we always look forward to Dr. Green's spiritual moment.
Once again, Ed, thank you for that introduction. And as always, the spiritual moment is brought to you by Silverdale Baptist Church. If you would like to learn more about Silverdale, just visit their website, which is silverdalebc.com. That's silverdalebc.com. And they have a very nice app you can download for your Android or iPhone as well, and it's free. Today, let's look at fear, which we talk about a lot on these segments. It plagues a lot of us. Let's look at it from a different angle. You know, I find that we can often forgive others a lot more readily than we can forgive ourselves. That's true in my life, and this can create a barrier in our understanding of our relationship with God. We may feel that if we cannot forgive ourselves, well, how could God possibly forgive us? This can build a wall of fear between ourselves and God. That's a wall that we built. And it can make us fear him in an unhealthy way. Yet, we're also told to fear the Lord. So what exactly does that mean? Let's begin with a few verses. First, Psalm chapter 25, verses 12 through 14. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. Next, Psalm chapter 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. And last, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So, for some of us, our fears do not arise out of trials and difficult circumstances in life, but we fear God in an unhealthy way and run from him or simply avoid him. In the context of our reading for today, the fear of the Lord means that we draw closer to him. We regard him with wonder. We stand in awe at the majesty of his beauty and his very presence. With this type of healthy fear, one of respect, one of awe, we develop a wonderful intimacy with him. God does not want any of us to be scared of him. We shouldn't fear him in that way. Jesus actually speaks to God, his Father, for us, praying on our behalf because of his great love for us. God desires for us to love him, to respect him, to regard him with a speechless wonder and fascination because we are dumbfounded by his beauty and his perfection and by his amazing love for us that caused him to offer up his own son so that we could enter into this kind of relationship with him. So put your minds at ease. God is not angry with you. His anger and wrath were dealt with through Jesus, and he is not up in heaven waiting to strike you down with a bolt of lightning. In contrast, he is close to you, waiting to show you the most perfect love and acceptance in existence, true life, full of love and peace and joy and freedom from fear, is that close to you. E.B. White said once, hang on to your hat and hang on to your hope. Wind the clock, for tomorrow is another day. Let me close with a benediction from Romans chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is your spiritual moment for the day. Ed?
So well done, my friend, as always. And I know a lot of people are comforted by that message today, because things are close to us sometimes that we think are non-existent or far away. And opening that door can be so helpful at the dark moments and hours of people's lives.
And, you know, and fear can control your life. And, I mean, that's something I deal with, you know, personally, because that's a temptation. I mean, you can let the fear of things coming up that you have no control over simply overwhelm you. And I hear that from patients all the time. And if you live by that, it really does hurt your body. It hurts your mind, your body, your spirit. Ill health follows from that. So your state of mind has a direct influence over your well-being.
Boy, I know. And you see that all the time, and I do too, with people. Fear puts us in the hospital. Fear gives us diseases. Fear makes us feel worthless. So it is not a demon, but it's something we have to embrace and have build some kind of relationship with internally, because we're not gonna have you surgically remove it. It can't happen. So what does Americans do? They try to surgically put it to sleep with drugs, both prescription and on the street, drinking, overworking, too much TV, sometimes too much exercise, things that make us try to escape from it. So, all right, we've talked enough about that.
That's actually an important health topic, Ed. I mean, that's one of the things we deal with, one of the reasons you and I are here. People forget that their health actually is connected to their spirit and their mind. They forget that, and it's good of us to remind them.
You are so accurate in that. And, you know, I've read somewhere that, you know, a lot of Americans, and I think more men than women, kind of look at the body like, you know, they got this Ford F-150 truck and they're going to use it and abuse it. And when it breaks, someone will fix it. And that's not the attitude to have, because that's not the way it works, people. It's kind of like a savings account. The more you put into it, the more you're going to reap at the end. And you just don't wait till you're 62 to start saving money. Well, now, I'm doing that, but you shouldn't do that. But when things happen in life, like divorces and blank blank, then, you know, you have to regroup. But I'm all good. I'm all happy. Everything's flowing smoothly. And I'm very blessed in so many areas.
I can say for the listeners, you are not someone controlled by fear and worry and doubt. So you have a much more positive spirit and positive attitude, and I respect that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. You know, I don't think of myself quite with the optimism that you just mentioned, but I do say that I have plenty of fear and plenty of doubts, but I don't let it control me. That's where I am different today than I was. Oh, 10 years ago, it was the ghost that chased me around every corner and was just lurking and waiting on me, and it would get its ugly claws. And you know what? Part of what I do is the health part, which is nutritionally nourishing my body, because when the body is not nourished, it tends to have a lot more sensitivity to crisis and fear and the negativities of life. I mean, if you look at the animal kingdom, even the nature shows, you know, the animals that are weaker, that are diseased or struggling, they're the ones that are attacked by the predators. They're the ones who are attacked by the more of the germs, more of the parasites, because they don't have the robustness that they used to have. Well, one of those is fear does the same thing as a parasite does. And so strengthening our physical body, strengthening the emotional body, strengthening the spiritual body, it makes us more immune to these things. And what does that take? It takes more than just wishing. It takes partnering with people like you and perhaps Nutrition World, and studying and learning, exercising, clean diets, optimism, all the things. It's not a super complicated puzzle, but there's parts to it you have to plug in or it won't happen. And too many people think that just they can do one thing, like they can go visit you once a year and they're going to be healthy. No, I mean, you're going to figure it out at a point that they need to do something more, but they've wasted a lot of time. And so I know neither one of us preach to anyone, but we certainly are vocal about our belief system.
Well, for the most part, we're telling people what we've been through and how we've dealt with it. I mean, I like several things you said. One, with your health and life, you've got to be proactive. I mean, you have to make an effort to do these things. It's not just going to happen on its own. You're not just going to wake up and be physically, mentally, and spiritually fit. I mean, this is a process, and you have to make an effort and a decision to do it in your life. And I love what you said. I've told patients similar things, you know, like with fear and worry and doubt. Are they controlling you? Are they dictating your actions, or are you more in control of them? And I think for us, for me anyway, for me to get control over them, for me, that's a spiritual process. I need some help from the good Lord to do that, because I don't have that in myself alone to really conquer that. Maybe it's there, maybe it's not. Maybe he's just helping me find it. I don't know, but I mean, that is something that I deal with, meditation, prayer, study. So, you know, it's, again, but do I just sit around and wait for it to happen? No, I go attack it is what I do. So it's a conscious effort to deal with it and not let it be in control. And it's something you have to think about and do. It's a life of action.
It truly is. And, you know, I love the fact that you give a personal testimony to your own life, because, you know, this isn't stuff coming out of books. This is actually two men who've lived a good chunk of decades and are willing to share some of their inner feelings and stories, because stories are what I think are more healing than facts, and people want to resonate with others who've gone through it. Well, guess what? That does it for this week's edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial 98.1 The Lake. It is a production from the Whitfield Media Group. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back here next week for a radio show that's all about your healthy living. For Dr. Christopher Green from CHI Memorial, I'm Ed Jones with Nutrition World. Have a healthy and safe and a fearless day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.